All right, thank you. Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Listen to this. It says, "He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he." So, Lord, today we want to hear your word. We want to hear what you say to us today. We want to apply it, Lord. We want to be not just hearers, but we want to be doers of your word as well. And so help us to be faithful in this, and we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about unwrapping gifts, and over the last few weeks, we talked about the gift of creation, we talked about the gift of salvation, we talked about the gift of love, and now we come to our last installment, which is the gift of faithfulness. And faithfulness is one of those things that is you don't really think about until you really need it, and it's a quality that we value in our relationships, don't we? Like in it, and in some ways it's almost like an expectation. Like you have an expectation that your husband or wife would be faithful. Like that's a given, right? If you're an employer, you have an expectation that your workers and your people that are under you, that they're going to be faithful. In our relationships, our friendships, we have an expectation that our friends and people that we care about, that they'll be reliable, that they'll be trustworthy, that they'll be dependable. Like that's just something that we value in those things. But we don't really think about it much concerning God, do we? But I want you to shift gears a little bit or transition your thinking to this. What if God wasn't faithful? Like, I've never preached a message on God's faithfulness. Now, I've talked about it, and I've touched on it in different points, but I've never preached a whole message on the faithfulness of God. And I was thinking about it because it's not something that I really think about a lot. I don't really think about the faithfulness of God. But can you imagine if God wasn't faithful? Can you imagine? Like, you would know immediately if God wasn't faithful. Like, it would wake you up just in a moment. Like, one day you wake up, and you're like, well, he's not there, or he didn't show up, or his promise isn't true today, or he's not reliable today, but he might be reliable tomorrow. He might not tell me the truth today, but he might tomorrow. Like, what would that do to you? Like, it would totally make you and me uncertain about life, and we would be just undone. We would be beside ourselves if we never really appreciated the gift of faithfulness that God gives us. But it's almost like it's there so often and it's so prevalent that we don't really think about it. We don't really know or consider it probably like we should. And the idea of God's faithfulness is that he's loyal, that he is there with us, he is dependable, and mostly he has your best interest at heart and in mind. The Old Testament, if we look at it in a word study, the Bible describes it really, really in a couple different really amazing ways. The first one is found in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus chapter 17. And this story that is talked about, you wouldn't think about it. When you read the story in Exodus, you think, well, what does that have to do with God's faithfulness? But it's the story of when Moses was fighting the Amalekites, and the word Amalekite means to, like, a valley. So God wants to take you out of the valley, and the enemy wants to get you down into the valley. But who was fighting down in the trenches against the enemy? It was Joshua, which Old Testament name means Jesus. The New Testament Greek is Jesus. That's his name. So Jesus is down there fighting for us. But what we need to remember is when Moses got tired, he was raising his hands. And as long as he raised his hands, there was victory. But when he got tired, the armies of God began to be defeated. And so he got his two friends, Aaron and Hur, to lift his arms up. But you remember what it says? They put him on a rock. They sat Moses down on a rock so that he would be victorious, so that he would be stable. And the word that we find there is this word from this story, which means faithfulness that steadies us as believers. It's a steadying, it's like something that is solid, that you can rest on, that you can depend on, that you can rely upon, That's who that's the God that we serve, and that's what faithfulness means. It's sure, it's steady, it's confident that you can build your life on it. And even how we began our time together, found in Deuteronomy, He is the rock, it says. He is the rock. And so that picture of that story reminds us of His faithfulness, that it's like a belt around His waist that causes great, not just confidence, but security and also assurance, knowing that we are positioned to be victorious, that He steadies us. But the cool thing about it is that word actually has some other meanings as well. And it's defined also as God being righteous and that His justice is evident as well. So if He's faithful on this side, He's righteous and He's just in His decisions and how He conducts Himself. But the other side of it is this, that God is loving and He's kind. So you have both of those things put together. You have the righteousness of God, you have the justice of God, but also you have His love and His kindness over here. You know what joins those two things together? His faithfulness. He's faithful to be just. He's faithful to be righteous. He's faithful to do the right thing. But He's also faithful in His love and His kindness toward you and I. Think about it for a minute. If He was just righteous and just, we could fall into this thing like being, like He's this military person that just barks out orders and we can never do anything right. If He's just loving and kind and there's no consequence, like anything rolls, and you never really have any parameters or any boundaries, then that can get off base too. But because He's loving and kind, and because He is just and righteous, causes us to realize and appreciate His faithfulness, because that's what joins those two things together. Now, as you move into the New Testament, it's really fascinating as well, because what it tells us is that He is steadfast and reliable. And check this out. This is from Strong's. Strong said this, "It's one who inspires confidence because His promises match His performance." His promises match His performance. So what does that mean? It means God just doesn't talk a good talk. But what does He do? He backs up what He says with results and with action. So His performance matches what He says. If He says something, then that's the way it's going to be. If He promises you something, then you can be sure that it's going to come, that it's going to happen, that He's going to come through. So they match one another. How many of you know people that their promises don't always match the outcome? How long does it take for someone like that for you to kind of not be so trustful toward that person? It only takes a couple times, doesn't it? If somebody doesn't do what they say they're going to do, or they don't follow through, or they're not reliable. Like, we don't value that, do we, in our society, in our culture? We don't value that. But how many of you know that is becoming a very common thing, that people don't do what they say they're going to do? Like, you don't know what you're going to get from day to day. And if you do happen to have a problem and you find someone that does carry through and follow through, it's like a cold glass of water on a 110 day in Kansas. Like, you're like, wow, where'd that come from? Because it's not common. Faithfulness is not a common thing these days. But how many of you know that we serve a God that is faithful? He is just, He is true, He is righteous, but He's also loving and He's kind toward you and I because He's faithful. Look at the person next to you and tell them, say, thank God He's faithful. Thank God He's faithful. You know, this week we had family Christmas here at Emmanuel on Wednesday night, and it was great. Like, if you weren't here, I'm going to make you feel bad. You missed out. It was really good. And what I liked about it was the simplicity of it, but what I really enjoyed was the Christmas story, just hearing it in its simplicity. But the second part that I liked about it was I heard four families talk very practically on how God was faithful to them in times that they needed it the most. And Zeke and Melissa Hendricks, they told a story. I want Zeke to come. He's gonna tell this story because it's amazing on how faithful God is and what God can do when everything looks lost and impossible, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell them what happened, Zeke. This is an amazing story.
So when me and Melissa first got together, we didn't have a lot of money. And usually, almost every week, we would go to Dylan's over here with $30 to feed seven of us. And when I think on that, that's God's impossible math, because only God could do that. Feed seven people on 30 bucks. I mean, let alone if you look at it yourself today, how many of you could spend 30 bucks just on you and your spouse at McDonald's? So this had gone over for about 6 months to a year. We'd been slowly building up stuff in our deep freeze. We got to the point where everything for Christmas was in our deep freeze. So we went to my dad's before Christmas and went up there for like 4 days. And then we come back and the deep freeze had melted down and we had about 20 bucks left. So on Christmas Eve at like 4 o'clock, we'd actually went over to Dylan's right over here. And as we were in there, we were picking stuff up. One of the gentlemen out of the meat department pulls out a big old cart of meat and says, here, this is all there. You can take whatever you want. And I said, we don't have the money for that. And the gentleman looks at me, and after we had cried out to the Lord about the deep freeze melting down, the gentleman looks at me and goes, no, I have another cart here. It's all free. Whatever you need, just take it, because we're going to throw it all away. It's free. If you want to take it, just take it. And that's what we ended up eating for Christmas, was that stuff that we'd gotten free that day that they were just going to throw away.
So God was faithful.
Yes, and yeah. We use that as a stake in our faith now, looking back, that his faithfulness of that.
There's probably not much that could come against you that you would be rattled in your faith because you remember that moment.
Yeah, that is a huge stake at our, that we look back, that financially we look at stuff like that and it doesn't rattle our faith too much at all.
Yeah, right. Who does that? Like who does that? Who brings out a couple cartfuls of meat to give away? And okay, you say, well, yeah, Pastor, but that happens. Okay, what about the timing of it then? He was there at that place at that time and he had a need and God stepped in. Because God is faithful. Let's give the Lord a clap tonight. Amen. Thank you, Zeke. Wow. Wow. So his faithfulness, it's part of his nature. It's part of his character. It's who he is. You can't separate. It's like love. You can't separate love from God. God is love and love is God. God is faithful and faithfulness is God. And you can't separate those two from each other. The reason God is faithful is because he's God. And he could never not be faithful. Like if one day God woke up, which he never sleeps, but let's say that he slept and he woke up, he could never say, you know, today I don't really feel like helping these guys. I don't really feel like being involved or invested in what they're up to. I'm just going to kind of take the day off. God could never do that. Even if he wanted to, he could never do it because it goes against his nature. It goes against his character, because that's who he is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says this, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Again, I want to reiterate, he's dependable, he's reliable, he's trustworthy, he always does what he says, he keeps his promises, he doesn't lie, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, amen? He's always there, he's always going to be there, and whatever you're facing in life, it's not too big for him, because he is faithful. Amen, church? He is faithful. He's the God that's dependable, that we can rely on. Isaiah 45, and this is in the English Revised Version, says this, when I make a promise, that promise is true, it will happen. Look at that. It will happen. Underline that in your Bible or whatever it is. Highlight it, copy it, paste it in your notes if you have your phone. Remember that whatever God says is true. And not just that it's true, but it will happen. And that's even greater that we expect the sun to come up in the morning and it to set. Is sure as that is, God's word and his promises are even more sure than that. They're even more dependable than that. That what he says is true, that what he promises will happen. And that's the God that we serve. So when you think of it in that sense, it really should comfort us knowing that somebody cares about us in that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this: God will do it because he is faithful to do what he says. He is faithful to do what he says. Second one there, and you're filling the blanks, his faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. I love that one because, you know, in our, even probably the people in those days that wrote this, they didn't probably realize in some ways. I mean, they knew the stars and they knew all that. But for a significant amount of people, all they can see is what's above them, the clouds. You know, that's it. But God's faithfulness reaches even beyond that. It extends beyond that. And I love it because if you think geographically like me, you're thinking, okay, it's above, so what does that mean? What are the implications of that? The implications are that he's above it and that he has a vantage point that we don't always have, that he can see it all, he knows what's going on, he's in control, we don't need to worry, but his where he's positioned gives him the ability to judge what's right, to make accurate decisions, but also to let us know, doesn't it give you comfort knowing that somebody's above you, that somebody's in charge? And not just somebody's in charge, but somebody's competent who's in leadership. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy with that? That there's somebody that you can trust in who's above it all and in it all and through it all, and he looks down upon it. It'd be one thing if we said, well, his faithfulness is under our feet. You know, we think, well, that's kind of cool because, you know, we can build our lives on that or whatever. But to me, it's more meaningful when we have the picture that he's above it all, because it means that he's bigger and his reach extends way beyond my capability or my ability to comprehend it, really. The next one is this: his faithfulness extends to every generation. I love that one because if you're like me, when I first got married, I thought, well, I don't know if I want to have kids because the world's so crazy. So that was a long time ago. And the world isn't as crazy then as it is now. So I know we have some young people in here going, yeah, Pastor, I don't know if I want to have kids because I don't want to bring them up into this craziness. Well, I want to encourage you. God was faithful to me. He was faithful to Deb. He's been faithful all along. He was faithful to generations before me. How many of you know he's going to be faithful to the next generations that are coming up? Because I know what some of you are thinking, even as moms and grandmas, you're thinking, and grandpas, you're thinking, man, I don't want my grandkids to go through all this crazy stuff that's going on. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. God will give them a manifestation of grace that will carry them through. He will give them gifts and abilities and talents and faith that maybe we in this generation don't have, but it's what they're going to have to get them to the next side and through their lives as well. I want to encourage you. I think the Mormons kind of got a good handle on this. Have as many kids as you can. And I mean that. And here's why. If the righteous influence was not here, think about how much worse things would be. But if you quit having kids, that righteous generation will diminish. So in your homes, when you teach righteousness and you teach to do the right thing and you teach faithfulness, you know what that's going to do? That's going to propel the next generation to serving God and doing great things for the kingdom. So don't shy away from it. I know things are expensive, and you know you're becoming like your moms and grandmas and grandpas when you start complaining about how much stuff costs, you know? But it's like everything's expensive these days, so it doesn't really matter. So listen to what Psalm 119 says, verse 89. Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth that you created. And that word extends means it's firmly fixed. So God's faithfulness is firmly fixed in the next generation. That should give all of us hope. I want to tell you, Because what it's going to take to be victorious in the next season or next generation of life in the world today, it's going to take a different giftedness than what many of us have. We're gifted for our now. We're gifted in faith for what we're facing. But the next generation, they're going to have a little bit different gift mix to carry them through to what it is God has for them. Psalm 89 verses 1 and 2 says this, I will sing of the Lord's faithful, unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. And of course, Deuteronomy 7 says that God, he's a faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. Isn't that amazing? 1,000 generations. Like we think, well, does that ever run out? Is it just for those guys back then that were, you know, that were more spiritual than we are? No, his faithfulness extends to every generation that's to come. It never runs out. It's always there. There's always enough. And so we don't have to worry about what's to come, because the Bible says that God is the God of the living, not the dead. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's a generational type God. He is concerned about generations. He's concerned about what's to come. His faithfulness will transcend where we're at now into what he has for this next group that's coming up. The next one is this: his faithfulness is great. I love that one, because it would be enough to say, well, his faithfulness is good. Like, we'd all love that, wouldn't we? If his faithfulness was good, how many of you would enjoy that one? Or we could even get by with saying, you know, his faithfulness is pretty good most of the time, or even, you know, like, it's mediocre. Like, we could maybe do with that. But what does it say? His faithfulness is great. You know what great means? How many of you know that great is better than good? And if it was good, that would be all right. But because it's great, because his faithfulness is great, means that it's better. It's dependable, it's reliable, it's trustworthy. You can depend on it in everything that he does. Listen to what Lamentations says, and Lori read this in confirmation, I think. If for nobody, for you. Lamentations 3:23. Great is his faithfulness, his mercies begin afresh each morning. Most of us look at that, we can say his mercies are new every morning, but we never really think about the first part of that verse, which says, great is his faithfulness. I think if we put those two together, which I don't think would deviate from the text, I think that what we can gather from that is not only are his mercies new every morning, but his faithfulness endures for all generations, and it will never run out. It's always there. It's just like mercy. It's new every morning. It never leaves. It's stable. It's solid. It's dependable. God can be trusted. Did you guys know that? That the Lord can be trusted. He is worthy of our trust. He is faithful. Do you understand that? That's the God that we serve. We serve a God that we can put our trust in, that we can put our hope in, that we can depend on, that we can rely upon. And it's great. The other one is this: he is faithful when we're tempted. And we don't always think about that in that way of, as far as temptation is concerned, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others have experienced. But we often find ourselves thinking that we're going through more than most people, don't we? Like we think, well, you know, my plight or my struggle is a lot harder than everybody else's. But what he says there, it's no, we all go through seasons and things in our lives. We all do it, but this is what the word says. God is faithful. That's what it says. So whatever you go through in life, whatever temptation you face, he is faithful. And here's what it says, because this verse is probably more misquoted than any verse in the Bible. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. You know how most people say that one? He won't allow you to go through more than you can stand. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I believe that. There's all kinds of things that I've gone through in my life that I couldn't handle. That's why we need God. If you could handle it, you wouldn't need God. This says he won't allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, Because listen to what it says. When you are tempted, notice it says when. I wish it didn't. I wish there was something that I could insulate myself from the when and maybe have it say if. But it says when. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So his faithfulness plays out in a way of escape. And I can't read that without thinking of Joseph, that Joseph had a way of escape from Potiphar's wife, that he was able to get out of the situation. Were there still things that he had to overcome? Yeah, absolutely. But he was able to find a way of escape. And the result of God's faithfulness is the last word in that verse, and it says to endure. You see, I think what happens is when we really understand God's faithfulness, it helps us to put up with things and tolerate things because we know he's there and we know he'll carry us through and we know that the temptation won't be too great. Even above the temptation, do you ever think about the tempter? You know, a lot of times temptation comes from within, but his faithfulness even comes against the temptation from without. The temptation from without is the devil, the evil one, the accuser of your soul. And this is what it says. He is faithful to strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. How many of you feel like you're under attack lately? Like all hell has unleashed upon your life. Does anybody feel that way? You ever? I'll say it like this. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way in your life? Maybe you don't feel that way currently, but you have in the past. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. So guess what, devil? You're not going to win. You're not going to win. You're not bigger than God, and you're not greater than his faithfulness. And you're not going to win, and you're not going to overcome my life, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And here's another one, devil. When you come at me like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against you. What do you think about that, devil? Get behind me, Satan. You see, God's faithfulness transcends the enemy's power in your life. He can accuse you all day long in heaven's court. But guess what? The judge, jury, and the executioner and the public defendant is all the same guy. His name's Jesus, and he's on your side. Can you imagine walking into a courtroom and the judge is the same guy that's defending you? Oh, that'd be thrown out like a media. I watch too many crime shows. I know that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. But guess what? It works for you and it works for me. Look at the person next to you and tell them, say, he is faithful. He is faithful. And then finally, listen to this one. He is faithful to the end. Aren't you glad? See, he doesn't just start out with you and kind of get you going. He doesn't do that. Oh, he'll get you going. But in the middle, he's there with you too. When you feel like quitting, you feel like giving up. And he's there toward the last lap when you see the finish line, but you may not have enough to get you to the end. He's there at the end. He's not just there when you start. He's in the middle. He's in the last lap, and he's there at the finish line. Not just running with you and cheering you on, but he's there to meet you at the end because he's faithful. He's just. He's true. He's righteous. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. You can depend on him, you guys. You can rely on him. He doesn't lie. He can't lie. It's not possible. And he's faithful. Revelation 19, and I love this because it's nearly the end of the whole thing. And we would say, well, if it's in, you know, Isaiah, it'd be cool. Because that's sort of, you know, Psalms is in the middle. But it's in Revelation, which tells us what? That's the end. That's the end. Like that's where we complete our journey. And it says this, verse 11. Then I saw heaven open and a white horse and was standing there, and its rider was named. What's his name? That's his name. Remember his character, who he is. Even his name is called faithful. But it's at the end, which is, I'm so happy it's at the end, because I know that I'm going to make it if he's faithful. How important is it that he's faithful? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So that's the end. But he adds this tag onto that verse, and he says this: God will make it happen. So what does that mean? It means Jesus is going to come back. God's going to make it happen. Nobody can say anything different. Like, this is how this is going to roll. This is how it's going to happen. But it says at the very end, he who calls you is faithful. Not was faithful, not going to be faithful. Come on, church, he is faithful. Amen? He is faithful. He is reliable. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. You can build your life on that. As a man or woman of faith, that's what you can depend on. And what I love is that I can know that I have a future and a hope because of that. Now, here's where we're going to transition now and bring this to a conclusion. I would not be doing you well if I didn't challenge you in what I'm about to say. Okay? It's one thing to preach about God and his faithfulness, but I want to ask you something, okay? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? You guys, this demands a response. Like, in good conscience, I can't even preach this without challenging you. I can't do it. Like, I got to do it. How faithful are you? Are you dependable? Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? Can people count on you? In the courts of heaven, does God look down and say, you know what? I can trust that guy. I can give her a responsibility because I know it's going to be done. Or is it kind of dicey with you? Like, God doesn't always know what he's going to get with you. Like, maybe one day when you feel good, or you're up and you know everything's going well, then yeah, God can ask you to do something and you'll come through. But what about when you're tired and you don't feel good and you've overcommitted? Or you're financially stretched. You're going, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to do it, God. I know I told you I would, or I promised you that I'd live for you, but I don't really know if I feel like it today. Anybody ever been there? Pastor Glenn told me the story of a missionary who was in Costa Rica, and he said this. He goes, I'd never do this for anybody but Jesus. Yeah. You guys, there are hard things that God asks you to do because he trusts you. And he knows that it will only benefit you and the kingdom in the end. And if you ever have a choice to choose between the easy way or the hard way, always pick the hard way. Because the hard way will reap the best benefits. You know what? We live in a culture where everybody picks the easy way. Everybody wants the easy way. I'll even say this, that I think that we do it in our spirituality. That we want the monopoly version of Christianity. Where we pass go and we get our $200 and we collect and we just move on. No, that's not the kingdom. You know what the kingdom is? The kingdom is you die to yourself. That's what the kingdom is. You don't live for yourself. You live for him. You do what you're told to do. You serve him and you follow him. Let me back up now, because I know some of you are maybe getting a little defensive about this. Let me ask you a question. Does he deserve it? After what I told you about him, does he deserve it? Huh? Does he deserve it? Okay, then what are you doing? Then what are you doing? If he deserves it, then what are you doing? Start today. Say, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to quit being a consumer. I'm going to give. I'm going to be more of a giver than a taker. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to be generous. Oh, here you go, Pastor, meddling with my money. Listen, if he doesn't have your money, you're not faithful. Period. Sorry. It's not yours anyway. It's not yours. If you are not a giver, you are not faithful. Sorry. It's just the way it is. I didn't write it, y'all. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. If we are not faithful in the things of God, who else is going to be? If we don't inventory our lives and say, okay, Lord, I've been kind of sliding in this area a little bit. I haven't been as diligent. Lord, I got to get back on track. I got to do what you tell me to do. I got to follow you. You got to do it, man. Nobody's going to do it for you. Search your heart. See where you're at. How can I be faithful in my life? Let's stand together. So this is a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. I feel the weight of it too. But here's the thing. We can do it because he's gone before us. And he'll help us. And he'll guide us. How many of you say, Pastor, I need to be more faithful. I need to get my stuff together, man. Huh? Only a couple of you? You guys are doing great then, huh? This church is just... Oh, I forgot it's Emmanuel. You are doing great. That's right. That's right. I forgot. We can do better, can't we? Lord, help us, God. Help us. Lord, we want to be more like you in everything. Lord, we know this time is so short. Lord, we are only here for a moment. In any time you could return or any time we could meet you and be right in front of you. Lord, we want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. So help us with that today, Lord Jesus. Help us.